I'm gonna.
Hey everybody,
I'm
is,
here. I'm just, oh,
hello, everybody. It is Tuesday, March 20th, 2018. It is the 12 p.m. Eastern call. This is Elaine standing in for Diane today. And somebody was just trying to say something. I'm not sure if it was.
Oh, it was
Eric.
Just really quick. It was Erin. I'm going to mute myself because I'm driving, but I'm here. So.
Okay. Well, you do not have bad background noise, just so you know. So you don't need to mute yourself unless you feel the need.
Oh, okay. I'll leave it open and just let me know if it gets.
I will do. We'll do great. Thank you. Hello, Tammy. How are you?
Hey, how are you? I'm good. Thank you.
I am well. I'm glad to hear your voice. This is like old home week. This is so fun. I might have to steal a call back from Diane. okay, so let's start we've got three people on the call so far, so let's start with celebrations, and then we'll move into taking aim in our topic. Who wants to start us?
I'll start,
Jennifer,
actually.
You were first to arrive. You want to start?
Oh, no, that's okay. What were you asking? I'm sorry. I had to go answer the door to get my lunch from the delivery driver.
It's okay. I was asking for celebrations. But, Erin, it sounded like you were ready.
Go ahead.
Not really. So, I mean, I have kind of, it's a little bit generic, but I'll go ahead and go. I am celebrating that I'm making progress with sort of clarity and boundaries around things. It applies in some different areas of my life, but I just noticed I'm making progress with that.
Awesome. That's not easy at all.
No, it's exhausting, actually, but it's awesome.
It is. That's really true. Great. So making boundaries, setting boundaries for yourself in different aspects of life. Well done.
Yeah.
Who else? And that was, I'm double checking, that was Erin.
Yep.
Okay.
This is Jennifer. I can just say I'm celebrating trying to be more curious and ask more of what's going on instead of saying, why didn't you do this, or why didn't you get an A, or anything like that.
Awesome. What kind of a difference are you noticing as you step into this, stay in this curiosity place?
I don't think it's fair. Like this morning, yesterday, my son somehow lost his charger for his school device, and it was completely dead, so I had to give him a check today to get a new one, which when I dropped him off at 6:30 this morning, it was in his pocket. He was instructed to leave it there, go straight to the library when they open it, 7:15, and pay for a new one.
Right. Or
then I get a text that he somehow lost the check.
Oh.
I'm like, how? Where? And that's as much as my curiosity got. It's like, oh, you have no idea how irresponsible you are. I'm thinking that to myself. And
right.
It's like, okay, well, but at least it wasn't cash I gave him.
Right. So what I'm hearing is that it's showing up in your restraint. It's helping you not say some of those things that are in your head, but really helping you slow down and respond to him more effectively.
Right.
Cool.
So, I told him, go to the library, put them on notice that you had a check, in case anybody turns it in, because it's not like anybody can cash it because it's made out to the school.
Great.
I guess they could if they're that unscrupulous, but.
So So you're being more curious and allowing that curiosity to filter your first reactions and let you temporarily more effective. Great.
Yeah.
Tammy, what about you? What are you celebrating?
Actually, I had a late appointment yesterday, and my son called me, and he said that he was starving to death. So what happened was he asked me, he told me what he wanted to eat, and he said, "Mom, can you tell me how to make it?" So on my way to the appointment, I told him how to make this whatever he wanted. And when I got home from my appointment, supper was made. He made the whole supper.
He made dinner.
He made dinner.
Wow.
Yeah, he made dinner. Yeah. I thought he was just going to make something for himself, but he had, instead, when he opened the package, he just made everything. So there was enough for whoever wanted to eat. Yeah.
All right.
So
that
I didn't have to do that.
Win.
Yes,
awesome.
I was so happy.
I bet you were.
It was great. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
I was really
so
proud of him, and I told him how proud of him I was too. So, yeah, and he goes, "Mom," he goes, "I wasn't gonna wait for you. I love you, but I am stuffed right now."
Oh,
everybody,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was all good.
It was all good.
Yeah.
So I want to celebrate this week because I've had a really rough month. And I want to celebrate that my son has parasites. And
has what?
Really good news. He has a parasite.
Oh.
But that means we know what's been going on and why he's been sick for a month.
Yeah.
And he's getting
better. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So, yeah, it's been a really, 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 really rough month. And I think he's probably missed almost 3 weeks of school.
Poor baby.
It's been really hard. But this morning was like so clearly turned the tide, and the meds are working, so I'm celebrating that we know what it is, and I've been thinking about that. That the stress of not knowing, right? The stress of inconclusive diagnosis, and just how helpful it is to know, because you can do something about what you know, but you can't do anything about what you don't know.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm celebrating. Mm-hmm. So thanks. So what do we take a name on this week? Our topic is buy-in and motivation. What do you want to take aim on?
This is Erin. I'm ready to go.
Go, Erin.
Okay. Well, interestingly, the conversation just about cooking dinner is kind of related because my son is 16. He'll be 17 in June. And, you know, he's a teenager, so getting him to kind of contribute and do some things around the house is always a bit of an issue. At least it is with my kid. But on this, I wanted to take aim on a particular thing today that's coming up around that, which is I'm just kind of fried today. I've been going. I'm always doing that. And today I'm just tired, and I'm going to work, and I'm kind of aware that I need to come home and cool my heels a little bit.
Yeah.
So I really would like him to either handle his own dinner or even better do it for both of us. And I have lack of clarity around, this is sort of parenting stuff, but Elaine, you said one time on a call a few weeks ago that sometimes parents and your group, in fact, ADHD, like there's just how to parent questions because I didn't have this model for me, but I'm struggling with, is it appropriate for me, I'm a single parent, so to ask him or even require him to contribute that way, like cooking for both of us, is kind of part one. And the other is, or it could just be like, you got to take care of yourself tonight because, you know, I'm just going to come home and have some soup and crash or whatever. But that's it. I want to make some progress with that, but I do have some confusion around like appropriate, like what is appropriate the level to ask an older child to contribute to the house? Because it's a little murky being a single parent, you know, he's not an adult. Yeah, so that's it.
So I think what I'm hearing is you're actually not even wanting to take aim on a change. You just want to think through and get some clarity for yourself about what you think is reasonable and not reasonable to ask.
Well, no, I want to make the ask, but I want to get clear.
Oh, you want to make the ask
first. I want to do both today. I want to get clear and then make the ask. It's either going to be you're on your own, or I'd like you to kind of step up and handle this for both of us.
Okay, and you're talking about for dinner tonight specifically?
Just
or
dinner tonight, yeah.
Generally being more involved?
Well, I want to start with just today. Because I think that's going to bring clarity. Yeah, to the bigger picture, that'll bring more clarity.
Okay. So, and we'll get back to it and we'll go into it in more detail, but I want to offer one thing for you to think about, and we're going to go around and we'll check back in with you on it, okay?
Okay.
Is when you want something to change, you have to allow the time for it to change, right? And so springing something on somebody at the last minute may get a reaction.
Oh, my God. I'm already hearing you. You're right. Like, I shouldn't go like, okay, we're changing everything starting today.
Right, right.
So
so just think it through and just reframe a little bit. So if you want to get some buy-in and cooperation, think through what do you really want to ask for tonight, okay? And we'll come back to you. Fair?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Jennifer or Tammy, where are y'all? Who wants to take aim?
I think my taking aim for this week will just be to continue to get myself in order before the kids get up. So, there's just a lot going on right now, so I just need to kind of get myself, kind of pull myself together before they get up and get going in the morning so that I can lead them the right way, help them out the right way without me getting in the way,
So there's a sort of taking care of yourself so that you can be there for them when they get up.
Yes, that would be,
right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. And Jennifer, what about you?
I think kind of like, I think it was Erin who said she wanted to try and get her son to help a little more around the house stuff. I think I'm kind of going to go there only because we're 10 days away from leaving on a trip over spring break. And if I don't ask now, it's going to be me running around next week like a chicken with my head cut off trying to get everything done and angry and upset that my boys, my son and my husband, aren't doing anything to help.
Mm-hmm. So can you narrow in a little bit on when you say get help around the house, it sounds like what you really want is some help preparing to leave for your trip.
Well, yeah, I need them to get their clothes out or at least know what they're going to bring. For my son, get his clothes in the hamper so it can get washed before we leave. So I'm not stuffing dirty clothes and flying them up to Virginia with us.
Mm-hmm.
Just stuff like that. And yeah, we're going out of town, but I still want the house neat for when the person comes over who's going to be checking on our kitties.
Well, is it neat for them, or is it neat for when you get back, you want to walk back into a neat house?
Well, same, both, yeah. I don't want them to see what slobs we are, but then I want to come back in a clean house because we'll be relaxed.
Okay. Right, well, and it's a great segue, actually, into the conversation today. So if I sort of capture what I hear you saying, then we're going to come back. But you want them to help get, you want the boys to help preparing to leave for spring break, including helping leave the house in a reasonably clean state.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a good segue because it's about, like, what's the purpose? I want to check back in with you, Aaron, and then we'll come back to this. Aaron, is there anything you want to sort of tweak or clarify, or are you good?
I think I'm mostly good. I guess I'm seeing it probably will be a stage thing, so maybe taking aim for today will be like a micro step, but
mm-hmm.
and then the bigger thing will be more conversation and connection with them. So
right.
That's what I think.
Yep. I think that makes a lot of sense. And just if I can sort of put on that consultant hat for a minute to say, it is absolutely reasonable for a teenage kid to come home and say, I'm exhausted and I don't have it in me to make dinner tonight. And so what should we do? And, you know, give them a chance to say, you know, and say, really all I want is a bowl of soup and to climb into bed. What are you thinking? You know, it is not, you are not a bad parent if a kid eats cereal for dinner until he figures out that he's going to have to learn to cook for himself or something else, right? But he is old
that
enough to fend for himself.
Yeah. Yeah, and it kind of touches on the independence part, which is like
exactly.
when you talk about like handing off the baton, but it also a little bit touches on empathy because feel
yeah.
like there's a point
yeah.
in here where I need them to start understanding that I am, you know, I'm one person.
Human. Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's
and
absolutely
to start treating
reasonable.
Me like, not like a younger child, I think, has no concept of that, but he's becoming an adult, and, like, you got to be aware
right.
of other people, too.
And what I like about what you're saying is that when you approach it from a place of empathy and connection, you're not trying to teach him anything. It's just a human-to-human relationship, right? If you try to teach them, you know, you're becoming an adult and you have to learn this, he's going to shut down. But if you go to him and say, man, I am beat. I'm done. I'm put a fork in it, right? That's just being
yeah.
human in relationship with your son, right? And he
yeah.
will respond
yeah.
to that in a very different way than if you try to teach him something. Does that resonate?
Totally does. I think it's something that I have to practice some patience, or I have this little thing I say in my head, like that little saying, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it, and just be willing
right.
to put it out there and leave it, because I think I quickly do go into teaching
mm-hmm.
both. I give him a little space to be empathetic, because I also get annoyed, you know, when he's not.
Right.
But I... So, yeah, but I hear you, and I think if I can just put it out there and leave it, and then do what I need
yep.
to do to take care of myself, then that would be
right.
a great step, you know, for one
yep.
day.
So all of these are actually a great segue. So let's talk a little bit about the topic for today, and then we're going to come back, because you've all presented really key scenarios that are essential to this whole notion. And today's topic is about getting buy-in and finding motivation. And you're all dealing with teenagers or preteens who are stepping up you're ready for them to step into a more level of responsibility, right? And the challenge is just what we were just saying, Aaron, is that when we try to teach it to them, they have this tendency to get resistant. You can't tell them to buy in or tell them to be motivated. They are actually independent humans. And our job is to help them figure out what's important about it to them. And it's no longer enough to just ask them or expect them to do something because we said so. That's a very sort of phase one parenting approach. But if what we want for them is to become independent young adults, we want them to become independent decision makers, we want them to be able to make themselves dinner, right, much less somebody else, then we have to start moving them in that direction and helping them figure out how how they need to get themselves to get anything done. And it's not enough to just say, you need to do it because I said so. So the conversation is about buy-in. Because oftentimes what happens is our kids buy in, but they don't really buy in, right? They say yes, or I should say they say yes or they agree to something we've asked them, but they're really not bought into owning it. And buy-in is really more akin to ownership. They really see it as their job or their responsibility. And as long as it's our agenda and they see it as our responsibility that they're doing us a favor, they're not really bought in. It's not really their agenda. So the notion here is about helping them really, really step up and agree to whatever it is that they're doing. And so that's the first part is buy-in. It's that sort of key component to internal motivation, that ownership piece. It's what gives them a stake. And sometimes that may be an external motivator. It may be that they're bought in because they want to earn time on their Xbox, or they want to earn, you know, privileges to use the car, or, you know, whatever it is. There's nothing to say that there can't be an external motivator, but they're still working towards something, and they own it as their responsibility or job to do. Motivation comes in because motivation is what helps our kids do anything, take any kind of action. And all of you have learned this before. We had somebody, one of our licensees came up with a great acronym for motivators. The five motivators are PINCH. And it stands for PINCHs. P stands for play or creativity, humor. I is for interest. N is for novelty. C is for competition. And H is for hurry up or urgency. And it's a great way to remember that those are the five things that are going to motivate us and our kids to get anything done. And we want to begin to help them find what their motivators are and begin to see that they need to come up with motivators to get stuff done. Now, Tammy, your example was great. Your son was motivated by hunger,
mm-hmm.
right? He wanted something. He was interested in being fed. And it was a great motivator to get himself to make some food. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so really thinking through what is important about it to them and helping them begin to ask that question for themselves. What is important about this to me? What will help me get this done? Shifts that role, shifts us out of that level one parenting of directing them and into those higher levels of parenting where we're beginning to foster their ownership and support them in their ownership of what they're doing. So I'm going to stop and just sort of open it up for conversation, what's coming up for anybody vis-a-vis the topic generally, just sort of motivation and buy-in and ownership, or specifically how it relates to what your issue is. But first, let's keep it general. What's coming up?
This is Erin. I think for me, in this transition stage, you know, teenager is, for me, it's just being able to have the patience to be, like, I'm a little bit impulsive myself, and to just have the patience to allow the space for that buy-in and motivation to happen, because I tend to jump on it pretty fast, you know, if things aren't really happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my personal challenge in it. But I do see it. I mean, it's a pretty beautiful thing when it happens. You know, when a kid, seeing my kid, like, latch on to something that he wants for himself. And it is happening in some areas. That's what I see that for myself. The biggest thing I could do is just focus on my own, like, just having a pause, whether that pause is a minute or an hour or a week, you know. To let it
right.
cook in him.
So give it a little space to unfold mm-hmm. and not need action, instant action now. It's like your initial reaction was, I want him to take over making dinner tonight.
Right. That's
right.
A perfect example. Because that is how I roll. You should
be motivated to cook dinner tonight because I gave birth to you and I've been taking care of you for almost 17 years. So you should cook me dinner tonight. I mean, that's not how my mind goes.
Right.
I'm tired. Good thing I'm on this call this morning, poor kid.
Right. So how does it shift? What is giving it time look like?
You know, a great example actually happened last night because he's a junior, so he's rolling around, you know, post high school and what he wants to do, and he seems to be leaning toward community college, which I'm really totally fine with. And I also have some thought that I live in Sacramento, Sac State is here, that would also be a reasonable option for him, and probably my preference for reasons that don't matter for this call, but mm-hmm. He seems like he wants to go the community college route. I'm not clear why. So I just had the awareness of exactly what we're talking about now. I had the awareness last night that I'm really not wed to which way he goes. And he's not, he seems to be clear on what he wants to do. And I guess, yeah, I feel it's not an inappropriate thing to let him just decide it. He's going to college, that's great. You know, that's fine. Saved me a lot of money, you know, but I think, too, it's because I do have a little worry in there because it'd be a little more difficult for him to get into the state school in this area. And he has said some things that make me think he doesn't want to do it because he thinks he can't. And I actually fully believe he can. That's my only thing.
Right.
But I also think it's probably okay if he comes to that on his own, too.
Right. Well, and when you're open to it, you can ask the questions and allow the time. Right?
Yeah.
You can stay in that. So what you're really talking about is transferring ownership.
Yeah.
It's not really your decision to make. It's his, and your job is to support him in making a good decision for himself.
Yeah, and I guess to answer your question, what does the wait for it look like? And it's, in this case, not, like, I tend to just push into a lot of conversation about it, and I think it needs to cook right now. That's how I think of it.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of leave it alone and be available. Because he does sort of circle around and bring up this or that.
Yep.
And to just let him set the pace with it.
I love that.
Really work on my own, like, letting go. Like, really letting go of it. Because, really, it doesn't matter. Which, even if he's making the choice for that concern I have, that he doesn't think he can do it, then he'll figure out he can do it, but maybe just not on my timeline, you know?
Right. So tie it back in. What does that have to do with buy-in and motivation? I think it's clear. I just want you to loop it back around for yourself.
Yeah, I just put the words to it. Because, like, if using that example, let's say I kind of push him and pressure him or convince him, whatever, to go the state school route. It's not really his, or either way. I mean, I could go either way. It's not really his. And so I think he's at a point where he gets to choose based on what he wants and what's right for him. And that is where his motivation will lie. And his buy-in, like, not mine. Like, I don't want to be in that role anymore of being, like, the cheerleader all the time and convincing him of what he can and can't do and all that. You know, I'm ready for him to start, like, owning that himself.
Right. So what do you think he needs to understand about motivation to help himself be successful in making some of these choices? Or what would you like him to understand?
I guess what I see in him of where I think he limits himself a lot. It's this thing of he writes things off because he thinks he can't do it. So he might be motivated, but his motivation is, like, cut off at the knees because that other part of him is saying, oh, you can't do this. And what I really I guess maybe that is the motivation to press through that fear, anxiety, that self-talk, whatever it is, because I feel like once he's clear, he's fine. He do his assignments, he does his work, he goes for it.
Right.
But where I don't see the motivation.
When you say clear, what does clear mean?
Like clear that he wants something.
Okay.
Like
that it's
clear,
his.
Like it's his and his effort is there. Once he's clear that he wants it, because where I see it breaks down is he doesn't seem terribly motivated to work through his fear, I guess. And because that's where I see it breaks down, like that he gets avoidant. And I think that is a form of motivation, isn't it? Like, kind of like, if I know that, like, if it's me, if I know that about myself, that I tend to avoid something or whatever, I got to be motivated to push through my own fear, like, more than the task itself. At least that's what I see in him, is that's where the buy-in isn't. Like, I'm going to coach
myself. So what jumps out at me
gonna,
with what you're saying is that it may not be about motivation to push through the fear. There may be, before that, a self-awareness that he may not have as clearly as you do.
Like,
right?
What would
like
that be?
Does he really know that about himself, that he tends to avoid things? I mean, I figured out in my 20s that I had a whole history of I didn't do anything I didn't do well. And I avoided all sorts of things so that I wouldn't fail.
That's my kid. That's what
right.
he does.
That was it's very classic. But I was well into my 20s before I figured it out.
And then what
so
do we do?
So is
about
it that he's like, not motivated to push through, or is it that it's a pattern he may not have recognized in himself yet?
I think it's that, Elaine. I didn't really think of it that way. But like, what is for you? Like, when that happened, how did you make the next step then? You realize
you know,
that about yourself.
Honest, I don't remember anymore. I remember looking back and all of a sudden going, you know, I may have even been older than that. I just didn't do anything I didn't do well because failure wasn't an option in my family. That's why we talk about so much about making it okay to make mistakes. And so I think that it's a slow process of self-awareness, but really – and I love the way this conversation is going because really all of this comes down to you can't really have buy-in and find your motivators if you don't have a basic self-awareness about what do you want and what are you capable of.
Yeah.
I'm curious what's coming up for other people
does.
As well. Go ahead, Erin, and then let's hear from some others. But go
I think it just ties it together for me really beautifully because I think the best thing I can do for both myself with the dinner thing is just be willing to say, like, I'm tired. And that's it. And, you know what I mean? And just leave it because that's like a failure thing for me. But for him and the college thing, it's the same thing. It's probably the best thing I can do is just be in a place of, you know what, we just get to be human and not worry about being perfect, really. And I can model that. I can be that. And that feels totally aligned and authentic.
Right.
And
that's
forwarding.
The permission that he needs.
Yes.
To be able to have that, to grow into that self-awareness. But, you know, he's young. He's only 16, right?
Right.
And part of us feels like, well, they should be because they do have to make all these mature decisions. So they need to be. But on the other hand, they're still pretty immature. You know, it's a lot of self-awareness to take ownership. I mean, how many adults join a gym in January and never go back after February? They commit to it, but they don't really have the buy-in, or they haven't found the motivation, or they don't have a structure for doing it or whatever, right? Getting ourselves to do stuff is hard. So what's coming up for others? Erin, is that okay if we sort of open up and see where everybody else is?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Great. Yes.
So,
thank you.
Tammy or Jennifer, what's coming up?
It's Jennifer. You know, it's, odd with the college thing. I mean, my son, he's 17, he's a junior, and he's just not really thinking. I mean, it's almost like he wants to leave the decision up to us of what is he going to do.
So when you get curious about that, what do you think is behind that? That tendency to let you be in charge.
I think part of it is he's scared.
Mhm. Yeah. What else?
If he had his way, he would graduations on a Friday, Saturday. He's at the recruiter office for the Marines filling in paperwork. Actually, if he had his way, he would be doing that on his 18th birthday, which comes before graduation, which he knows we don't want. But he also knows that with him being on his medication for his ADHD, Adderall, he won't be accepted into the military. And we had that conversation with his colonel of his JROTC battalion, and he told him that right in front of him. And his answer was, well, we can just, you know, I can just stop it this summer, but I don't. I don't think
so
he sees the whole picture.
Can I step in for a second? So can I step in for a sec?
Yeah.
Because you are sharing a scenario that is right for this conversation. You have a kid who, so let me ask you a question before I continue. If the ADHD meds were not an issue, would you have a hesitation about him joining the Marines? Or would you want him not to? I think every mom would have a hesitation. But
we've always told him that.
I want you to give me a yes or no. Would you want him to, would it be okay, or would it be, no, I really don't want it?
I don't want him to right after high school. I want him to at least get 2 years of college.
Okay.
But if that's really what he wanted to do and really felt adamant about it, I wouldn't like it, but I would, you know, kiss him goodbye and say, I'll see you at graduation.
Okay. So your best case scenario would be that he goes through 2 years of college and then into the military.
Right.
And he wants to go into the military. And there's an obstacle, which is he has to learn how to manage himself and his ADHD effectively without medication in order to go in.
Correct.
And that is a really high motivator. He has something that he wants, and there's a path to get there.
Mm-hmm.
He's got buy-in, the strong potential for buy-in, because it's what he wants in his agenda. And so there's this opportunity to teach him how to self-regulate and self-manage and put systems in place, because there's something he's working towards that he wants. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So right now, it sounds like it's really easy to say, well, you decide because I don't get to do what I want to do. And that's sort of where it sounds like he is. Is that accurate?
Yeah, but I don't think I don't get to just do what I want to do. I think he's also realizing slowly that his grades aren't the best for college, that unless he takes the ACT or SAT, he's not going to go anywhere into college.
But college is your agenda, not his, right? At this point, still. Is that fair? Like, he's agreed to it, but it's not really his agenda.
Yeah, but he hasn't really talked about either lately.
No, I hear you.
In the past
okay.
month or so.
Okay. Yeah, it's an overwhelming age and time. Those decisions are so huge. So here's the question. If he had a vision that 2 years of college was actually going to get him to the military service that he really wanted, how could that motivate him differently? What can you imagine?
I think he would want to start looking up colleges or at least technical schools or something to do after high school.
But you're starting to move, it sounds like, into what are the steps he could take. And I want to pull back a little bit because what I'm hearing is he's got this vision. He's got a dream. And so I guess my question is, when we look at it in terms of buy-in and motivation, if you take his dream that he wants, which is to serve in the military, how can you use that dream to engage his buy-in and help him find motivation to set a course to get there? Does that resonate for
you?
Because right now he actually has something he wants. But he's decided if I can't do it right after high school, then I can't do it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. But he's not, I think he's also kind of hesitant to do anything because he knows that money to go to school isn't readily available. So I think he thinks that, you know, if he doesn't think about it, it won't matter. It won't, you know, I don't know.
No, I think this, I mean, I've been talking about this a lot lately because I have a 17-year-old junior, too. And I think this year is really a harsh year for kids. The expectations are really high. They feel like they're supposed to want to go out into the adult world, and they sort of do, but they sort of don't. They don't really know how, and they don't even know how to begin the process of thinking it through. And it's a lot easier for a lot of them to just pretend it doesn't exist. And maybe that's waiting for someone else to tell them where to apply. Or maybe that's avoiding it completely. But it's overwhelming. Right? That is the nature of junior year in high school, and certainly in this country in the year 2018. Would everybody agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. That is true.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if our job as parents is to begin to get them slowly but surely invested in stepping out of their overwhelm and into sort of incremental successes, having a vision of what they want and then beginning the process of working towards it can be really, really helpful. Right? Whether that vision comes from they're motivated by interest of something they really want to do or study or a job they really want to have. Maybe they just like new stuff. Whatever motivates them to get there, painting that vision and helping them paint the vision can begin to get them sort of moving incrementally. But it's not about what do you want to do for the rest of your life, right? It's just what's the path to get to what's next for you. And for a lot of our kids, that feels overwhelming. So if you step into that curiosity place, they get stuck because it's so overwhelming. And they're just afraid to move in any direction. And so whether it's what Aaron's saying, which is, I'm afraid I'm not going to be good enough, a lot of them are feeling that. Or, you know, Jennifer, what you're saying is, you know, he's gotten the message, you can't do it, based, you know, on the meds that you're on. And that may be true. And if that's true, then what would be, if that's really what he wants, what would it look like to self-manage and learn to manage himself? What would he need to do? Not to just go off the meds, but, you know, if you're going to take away the meds, what are you going to replace it with? Right? Does that mean he needs to be exercising every day? Does that mean he needs to change his nutrition? Does that mean he needs to take vitamins and supplements? Like, whatever it is, does it mean he needs to put some systems in place? What does he need to understand so that he can begin to see a path towards what he wants? And that's playing on the buy-in. He has buy-in that he wants this particular career. And if he's been told he can't have it, he doesn't really have anything to replace it with. But it's not necessarily true that he can't have it. It's that there would be a path to get there that's not clear, and it needs to become clear to him. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But as Aaron was saying earlier, it's got to be his. It's not that he's got to come up with every step on the way. He doesn't have to do the research to figure out, wow, there's a huge amount of research on ADHD and exercise. I might be able to begin to learn to manage it with exercise. He may not be ready to do that. That's where he's going to need some guidance. But for him to know, if this is what you want, then you can work towards it. And we will help you find a path to achieve what you want. That's what will continue to keep his buy-in and motivation engaged. Is that resonating for people?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about their agenda.
To me, what just keeps coming up with that is that sort of the crux of it, which is that it's that passing of the baton, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For me, it's a tough transition to make. You know, I have one kid, first, everything's a first. And, like, that transfer is, that seems to be what comes up the most often now for me when there's a challenge, you know, of what exactly am I transferring over and how and when?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the kicker is to let him begin to guide you in it.
Hmm.
Right? Is that it's not all your decision. Because you want to hand the baton to him when he says, yeah, I'm ready to get to take this one, or I got this one. Right?
I think I'm personally I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I personally have that this fear of, you know, being a 30-year-old on my couch.
Mm-hmm.
So, same thing. I don't wait for that guidance, you know, from him.
Right. But so here's the thing. The 30-year-olds on the couch, when you think about that classic stereotype, right? What do we know about those kids?
I guess their parents weren't on a call like this.
Fair enough.
Like,
yep.
Yeah.
What else? What else do you know?
Unmotivated.
Well, are they unmotivated, or do they not even have a clue how to motivate themselves?
I mean, they must feel pretty lost. I think most mm-hmm. people don't actually want to live their life on a couch.
Nope.
I was going to say it must have been it for kids, people like that, that it must have been years that nobody's been pouring into them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really sad.
4 years that nobody's believed in helping them create a vision for themselves and help them believe in what they're capable of.
Right.
I mean, and I don't want to, I'm not saying this to judge the parents of the kids who are failing to thrive. Because there are all sorts of reasons why that happens, right? But what we do know is that when you give kids purpose, when you give anybody, any human, a sense of purpose and ownership and belonging and belief in themselves and a vision or a path, when you give them a mechanism to get themselves activated, like the tools of motivation, when you help them own something, humans sort of create. We do. That's what we do. We create, we build, we invest, we engage. It's what we do. And when people shut down, when young adults shut down, it's usually because they don't see another path. And so I guess that's why I'm sort of picking up on that one for you, Jennifer, is that if your son has something he wants, there's an opportunity to help him figure out that there's actually a path to achieve it. It's not a brick wall. And to support him in his goal. Right? And 2 years of college might be a great deal, if that's part of what your deal is, for him to have a couple of years to figure out how to manage it.
Right.
I know I'm making that part up, but...
No, but I think he needs to be off longer than the year he has. Plus, selfishly, we will have him home another 2 years.
Yeah. There's an article on the site, by the way, by Kelly Dorfman about this issue. It's called Vitamin M or something like that. But look on the website under Kelly Dorfman, and she wrote, it was because one of her clients was specifically a kid who wanted to go into the military and needed to be off of ADHD meds.
Okay.
It's not an uncommon scenario. Believe me, there are plenty of kids with ADD in the military.
Right.
And it's a great way. A lot of them go that way because it helps them manage it. It creates a structure. They don't have to create the structure for themselves. There's a lot of physical exercise. I mean, there's a lot of advantage to it in terms of management.
Right.
For some kids. Some people.
How do you spell Kelly's last name?
Dorfman, D-O-R-F-M-A-N.
There we go.
So we have a few minutes left. Let's sort of do our final four. What were you focusing on in the call today? Not what was I talking about, but what were you focusing on? And what's your aha? What are you taking away? And if you want to, what do you want to commit to today? What action do you want to commit to? And how can you set yourself up for success with that?
Elaine, can I just add something to the end of the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
You would just
absolutely.
One thing that's really helped my son. I mean, he can be motivated by something. He can, you know, have all that kind of in check. But if he doesn't come home and find somebody rooting for him,
mm-hmm.
it just to him it negates everything else. It's kind of like, well, I mean, he's only 14, but it's kind of like, well, I'm working really hard every day at doing all of this for myself, and I come home and, well, it happens, it doesn't happen at home, but it would happen, it happens at school sometimes. It's, you know, nobody cares. With him, it has, it's the little things, you know, because honestly, the huge accomplishments are very far and few between, but it's the little things every day. So I have to be really on top of finding something, finding the little things every day to kind of keep them going along.
No, I think that's a great observation, and the research really bears it out. All the research on the most important component for long-term success is resilience. And resilience, the kids in from, you know, really difficult circumstances have all demonstrated to show resilience when there was one person in their life who believed in them, who helped them see what they were what was possible for them, what they were capable of. So we are running a little over time, but I would love to hear if anybody wants to share what your ahas are or what your commitments are.
This is Erin. I can do mine kind of quickly. I think for today, I'm actually just going to have a conversation. I'm going to call him when he's home from school and just have a conversation about dinner tonight from that place of just kind of, you know, I'm tired. What can work? You know, so we both eat, and I don't have to keep being like so tired tonight.
Yep.
And then your future, I feel like this is kind of setting the stage to follow up on what we're talking about with really taking more of a focus of and noticing, you know, I think of where his buy-in is for college.
And the other thing I would just offer to you is begin to help him see what works, what motivates him.
Yeah, I think I need to notice it, too. I don't know that I think of it that way. So to notice where
that
is
that acronym of
motivated.
KINCH is really, really powerful.
KINCH. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that on your website somewhere?
It will be on by Wednesday.
Okay,
no,
it's cool.
Yeah. You type in motivator. It's not motivation, but motivator. It's on there. And it's in the workbook today. It doesn't say pinch, but it's got the five motivators there. It's just written in different language.
Oh, cool. I missed that. Okay.
Anybody else? Ahas, commitments?
I think one of the best ahas for me is the awareness part. Because I can kind of turn up the urgency or, you know, well, competition doesn't work for him, but, you know, any of the other motivators, but until he's aware of why he needs to, you know, get something done or achieve something or even, you know, turn off the computer and go to bed on time, anything like that, he needs to understand why he needs to do that.
Right. What's in it for him?
Yeah, because I thought I had made a huge mistake and I didn't, so because I let him stay on the computer. I fell asleep, and he was on the computer for way more hours. But then the next day, he had a hard time functioning, but he still had to get everything done. And he comes home, and he says, you know, Mom, maybe next time I should get off when I told you I was going to get off because I'm really tired.
Good for him. So, there's your fast forward, Tammy. I mean, that's brilliant.
Hi.
That's what you want, because when he comes to that aha, he's going to hold it.
It was awesome. It was like a gift to me.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay, and I know we're over time. Jennifer, anything for you before we step out? Any closing words?
No, I'm just going to get curious and...
Stay curious. Good job.
Yeah, stay curious and really see what... how to help them, you know.
Mm-hmm. And can I offer one thing for you before we go about your preparing to leave the house?
Sure.
I love the idea of asking them a week in advance and giving them the heads up. And think about, like, what's in it for you, what's in it for them. to leave the house in a state of reasonably not chaos. Because if you do it because you want the person coming in to feed the animals, they're not going to care. But if you do it because it really matters to you to come home to a house that's put together, they can muster the caring about that for you because of your relationship.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So give them a reason that can resonate with them.
Okay.
All right. Take care, everybody. Love
Thanks
being
so
with you today. I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
Hey, thank you
so much.
You're kicking butt and doing great and making a big difference. And it was great to be with you. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.